Upheaval. Reckoning. Chapter 39. Morbid Fascinations.
There were plenty of tears to be shed when Rainbow and Third Squad made it back to Canterlot. After days of fending for herself, Rainbow was misty-eyed at the sight of so many ponies. When Fluttershy, Pinky, and Rarity came out to meet the group, they were also in tears. Even Applejack and Twilight shed a couple at the unfolding scene. Scarlet nearly burst into tears when he caught sight of a newly established Barrier Lands-only brewery. There was no drinking for him, though. He and Rainbow were off to stay in the hospital until they were cleared of any lingering Ophidite drugs. When Twilight was allowed access to the hidden archives the following day, that was when she really had to hold back a sob. The Coldhorn the Watcher wing, the lone reading room in the library that she had avoided as a filly, had turned into a long hallway of ancient books. She could barely contain herself as she surveyed the shelves. Special Operations had several researchers combing through the material. She was going to relish going in there with them, looking through the notes they already compiled, and adding to them when she had a chance. When orders came from Prince Dorado for the Elements of Harmony to stay put in Canterlot, she was the only pony who took them in stride. The only sour note so far was when she had to pass by Captain Badark on her way to the Hidden Archives.
"Try not to wet yourself in there, Purple Pyre. Don't want to ruin any of those books."
Twilight put that unpleasant Pegasus behind her. All this knowledge was too important to be soured by one pony. Apparently, she wasn't the only who thought so as well. Fluttershy, of all ponies, was as determined as she was to go through the books. Applejack, Rarity, and Pinky had also come along, more because of the prince's orders that they be near each other than out of any enthusiasm.
"So, what's got you so interested in the hidden archives, Fluttershy?"
Twilight asked. Fluttershy pawed the floor nervously.
"Well, I wanted to find out more about the stair."
Twilight raised an eyebrow.
"What makes you think that there would be any information about the stair here? These books are mostly about pre-equestrian history." "Well,"
Fluttershy glanced away,
"he told me that there'd be something to find out here."
Twilight's eyes narrowed.
"Who's this he?"
she asked. She stopped when Fluttershy backed away from her looming form.
It was Blue Moon,"
Fluttershy said.
I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to keep it a secret." "It's all right,"
Twilight said.
"Sorry for being pushy. Did he say anything else?"
"No." After making a mental note to talk to Blue Moon, as well as to call for Fluttershy if she did stumble on anything about the stair, Twilight went on her way. She had already thought about what she wanted to learn first, so she could narrow her reading focus. First and foremost, Twilight wanted to learn more about the Old Kingdom. Ever since she visited Clover the Clever's last refuge, the darkness around that time before Equestria beckoned her scrutiny. It wasn't just because the foul weapon and the blasphemous rift were important to their current situation. She wanted to learn more about how ponies dealt with their connection to their deep father, a connection that, as much as she hated to admit it, she and all of Equestria had. What had happened in Clover's refuge was but a small taste of the influence of Oceanus. What was the result if that small taste was magnified to great proportions? What did the power of Oceanus do to a pony? Down one aisle, Applejack had picked up a book. She took a single look at the pages before frowning and placing it back.
"Land's sakes, Twilight, I can't stay cooped up in here with all these fancy books," she said. "I'll go crazy. I'm off to do some training." "Don't stray too far from the library," Twilight said. "We're supposed to stay together."
"I'll just be nearby,"
Applejack said solemnly.
"Hold on, Applejack," Rarity called out. "I'm coming with you."
Twilight and Applejack looked towards Rarity.
"Really?"
Applejack asked.
"I mean, you want to go with me while I go off to train?"
Rarity frowned.
"Yes, thank you for clarifying. If you're going, then let's go."
"Well, okay,
Applejack said. Applejack and Rarity trotted to the Great Library's exit. That left Pinky still in the library somewhere. Twilight scratched her head as she searched. It shouldn't be that hard to look for Pinky. All she had to do was follow the sounds of books being thrown around, high-pitched squeals of delight, and the annoyed cursing of legionnaires trying to rein some pony in. Yet, there weren't any of those at the moment. Had they misplaced Pinky before they even made it to the library? Twilight was about to call for some help when she finally caught sight of Pinky, who had been passing through the shelves in a subdued manner.
"Pinky?"
Twilight asked.
"Are you looking for something specific, too?" "Huh?"
Pinky replied. She shook her head.
"Oh, yeah. Hey, Twilight, you think there's some kind of book here about Rockmaven?"
"Rock who?"
"Rockmaven. Coppermane's been teaching me a lot of stuff about him. But, well, he makes me want to find out more. Don't tell him, though. He's been teaching me lots of stuff that I like doing. But when he starts talking about being a true Earth Pony and stuff, I just feel like wanting to find out for myself." "Well, good luck looking for Rockmaven, then," Twilight said. "I'll call you if I read about him somewhere. Thanks, Twilight."
Pinky went off again. Twilight didn't even know how Pinky was able to tell what a book was about without picking them up. However, if there was indeed a book here about this Rockmaven, Pinky would find it. Realizing that she had wasted too much time with what her friends were up to, Twilight picked up a promising title and began reading. Fortunately, this one was already in Equestrian, as were most of the books. The ones that weren't were with the translators. Now, she just needed to find the ones about the Old Kingdom.
"So, why did you want to come with me, Rarity?"
Applejack asked as they trotted to the nearest training ground. They made sure to keep the building in sight and let the Special Operations ponies know where they were.
"A couple of reasons," Rarity replied. "First, how was your first mission with Vanguard and Twilight?"
"You know, Scarlet and Rainbow were involved in it too, and First Squad."
"And you know what I'm talking about, Applejack."
"You're prodding again, Rarity," Applejack said. She stayed silent for a while, but she eventually sighed and replied. "It wasn't..." She remembered that night when she did talk to Vanguard, then Twilight. The thrill that spread all throughout her body when Vanguard reached out to her. Her relief when she was able to reach Twilight without losing her temper.
"Wasn't as bad as I was afraid it was going to be," she said.
"Really?" Rarity asked. "No fighting, no tears or screaming. That is quite the pleasant surprise, Applejack. Well, I'm glad to know that you've got this messy triangle out of the way. Now we can..."
"We haven't gotten it out of the way," Applejack said. "Sorry, Rarity, but I'm not stepping aside. Twilight isn't either."
The widening smile on Rarity's face nearly collapsed on itself.
"Oh, my stars," she said.
She massaged her temples with her hooves, then let out a long exhale.
"Well, at least you two addressed it. Not too bad, element of honesty."
Applejack walked over to a nearby practice dummy. On the way back to Canterlot, she used all the time she could squeeze out of the mission to practice with Apple Slice's chain, especially in controlling its pulling strength. She didn't want to pull off some pony's head whenever she wanted to lasso them.
"You're just making fun of me now, Rarity," she said.
"No, I mean it," Rarity said. "Things can still go bad very quickly, but I rather like being pleasantly surprised. There's still a number of things that might ruin all of Equestria, but I think I'll sleep a little better from now on."
Applejack snorted. "Don't tell me that you followed me all the way out here just for that."
"Well," Rarity said, "there is one more reason."
Applejack turned around in time to see Rarity's blades float above her.
"Rarity, what are you doing?" she asked. "Those blades..."
"Carefully wrapped in leather to prevent serious injury," Rarity said. "They'll still hurt if they hit you, and I will hit you if you don't take me seriously."
Applejack grinned and pawed the ground.
"Is that right?" she asked.
She was about to get Appleslice's chain ready when she hesitated.
"If I get this thing around you, the fight's over, all right? I don't want to snap your neck."
"Agreed," Rarity replied.
Applejack's grin returned wider than ever.
"Hope you're better than a training dummy, then."
She whirled the looped end by her side. The mage blades around Rarity began spinning in a wheel-shaped pattern.
"We'll see," she said.
The sheer number of books within the hidden archives was nearly enough for Fluttershy to turn around and give up. This was pointless. She could spend days and days within this place without coming upon anything she was looking for. The Special Operations ponies moving through the place looked so busy that she must be disturbing them by simply being there. She was better off just walking away. She could just tell Blue Moon that she didn't find anything. Except, she wasn't doing this for Blue Moon. Fluttershy stopped herself halfway through her turn.
"That's right," she thought.
She remembered the helplessness just a few days ago, and used that to push herself forward. She had an opportunity here she couldn't afford to waste. She approached one of the special operations ponies.
Excuse me, would you mind helping me find a book?
The Legionnaire, a blue-green unicorn mare whose blue mane resembled the usual Royal Guard mane style, turned around. Fluttershy expected a stinging rebuke about getting in the way, and that this wasn't a public library. To her surprise, she actually got a salute and a respectful tone.
I'll see what I can do. Well, you don't have to stand at attention, Fluttershy said. I just wanted to find some books about Commander Hurricane and Private Pansy.
There are several books on Hurricane and his Grey Wing Elite by that stack with Squall Chaser.
The Legionnaire pointed to a very light gray earth pony with a curly cream-colored mane.
Squall, she called to him. Show Legionnaire Fluttershy here those Grey Wing Elite books.
Wow, Fluttershy said. You know my name?
Legionnaire Fluttershy, bearer of the element of kindness, the Legionnaire said. We've been updated on who you are and your position within the Legion.
Squall Chaser walked over and saluted.
Right this way, ma'am, he said.
He showed her a stack of books, many of which lacked any title on their covers, save for the picture of a gray-feathered wing and a spear forming an X. Fluttershy picked one book up.
Grey Wing Elite?
She asked.
What's that?
The Grey Wing Elite was the ruling body of the Pegasi Nation prior to the rise of the Old Kingdom, Squall Chaser said. Hurricane was its leader during the Wendigo Crisis, and Pansy was a second. After the Old Kingdom was established, it was merged with the Unicorn Monarchy and the United Earth Pony Clan Lords.
So all these books are about Hurricane and Pansy?
Fluttershy asked. The number and thickness of the books made her dizzy. All she needed was to know more about the stair. These books looked like they chronicled every day in the lives of Hurricane and Pansy.
Oh, no, Squall Chaser said. Only a few of these are about the two of them. The rest are about Pansy's experiments.
I see, Fluttershy said. Have you read most of them? Maybe you can tell me where to read about the stair.
At Squall Chaser's blank look, Fluttershy consigned the rest of her day to going over the stack.
I've made it halfway through the material, he said. I haven't encountered anything involving a stair. Hurricane and Pansy aren't quite in the Legion's sights at the moment, so it's just me working on the stack. Every pony here is more focused on Clover, Platinum, and Smart Cookie. They're the ones who are really into delving into the power of Oceanus.
I better get started then, Fluttershy said.
She picked up a book and began scanning pages. Finding books about the Old Kingdom turned out to be quite easy, as Twilight quickly discovered. Luxarius's commitment to historical documentation was admirable. Many of the records were written on his orders, and he was quite adamant on writing down every detail of the enemy he had defeated. It was nothing short of a tragedy that a pony so organized and meticulous was now an insane entity trapped in stone. Twilight would have loved to meet him when he was still himself. Hours had likely passed. Twilight didn't really care. Several finished books were already stacked to one side of her, while books she wanted to read were stacked by the other. There was so much to find out about the Old Kingdom, from its sordid beginnings to its ultimate fate. The six companions and those who followed them called their nation the Everlasting Kingdom. Clover the Clever envisioned a grand destiny for ponykind, one that was tangled in the tendrils of her deep father. She had stayed true to what she told her mentor when she murdered him. Twilight took some grim comfort over knowing that it was now referred to as the Old Kingdom. While it was Clover who picked the name, it took all six companions and the factions they led to create their everlasting kingdom. Princess Platinum all but ruled the Unicorn Kingdom in her father's name, while Clover the Clever officially served as court mage. Twilight didn't need to find any writing about it to suspect that Platinum's hold over a kingdom did not come from legitimate means, nor did court mage come anywhere near Clover's true position. Hurricane and Pansy commanded the Grey Wing Elite, the military, therefore ruling arm of the Pegasi. As for Puddinghead and Smart Cookie, they were the leaders of the two most powerful Earth Pony clans. Their alliance and their progress with attuning themselves to Oceanus allowed them to beat most of the clans into submission, then sell the particularly defiant ones to slavery. It was at this point that Twilight encountered the name that Pinky was so curious about. There was a brief list of the Earth Pony clans that had been sold to the Unicorns, and one of the clans had been led by Rockmaven. It was merely a passing mention, not worth taking herself away from her reading to look for Pinky. This turned out to be the right choice. She sped through line after line, page after page, just taking in all the information.
A lot of bad things were committed during those times. Several books worth,
Night Cantor had said. Several books worth was right. Lexarius made sure that every monstrous ritual was described as vividly as possible, without making them repeatable. Twilight winced at each event. The pony sacrifices, the slavery, the purges. But she couldn't stop reading. She soon found more interesting and pertinent details. From special operations, Twilight already knew that the Old Kingdom's capital was located in Skymere Lake. She also knew that something was going to happen there very soon, so every bit of information about the place was going to be important. What she hadn't known was that it was six companions who called upon the waters that still remain to this very day. They had done it to preserve the sanctity of the Everlasting Kingdom. If Twilight despised Clover the Clever before for murdering Starswirl the Bearded, it was nothing compared to the loathing she felt for the errant student now. Clover destroyed the nation she built, then escaped its fate at the very last moment, abandoning even the other companions. The ritual was called Deep Father's Embrace, and the name did fit. Oceanus's loving hug killed the city's thousands of inhabitants in a deluge of magically tainted water. Lexarius had a lot of detailed notes on the devices he had to construct just to get around this obstacle and seal the blasphemous rift.
Twilight Sparkle.
Twilight's first instinct was to be irritated. She had a lot more reading to do, but she recognized Vanguard's voice.
Vanguard, she said. Wait, what time is it? How long have I been reading here?
The serious mane around Vanguard was enough for Twilight to close the book she was reading.
Well over 8 hours,
he said.
The princesses have summoned the Elements of Harmony. They're already waiting in the Chamber of Harmony.
I'll go get Pinky and Fluttershy.
The alicorn stallion laughed a loud, bellowing, as he brought his massive weapon down on a group of changelings. The hammer's head, a polished, rounded chunk of metal the size of a small cottage, crushed half a dozen of the screaming insectoid creatures, splattering their blood across the soft, sandy ground. The other changelings continued to fly away. Despite his enormous size and his heavy barding, the alicorn was right behind them, hammer ready for another overhead smash.
Isn't this a strangely amusing chore, Foreman?
Redentum Maliorum asked. A much smaller alicorn in golden armor darted about behind him, impaling the changelings scattered by Redentum's initial charge with a long, broad-tipped spear. Fulman Lancia stopped briefly before pointing his weapon towards a few more fleeing changelings. A stroke of golden lightning burst from the tip, incinerating his targets before they could fly another foot.
It feels too much like pointless posturing, Redentum. It will always be until we fight Oceanus's troops.
But this thing they're doing, Redentum said, it's so bizarre and amusing! It's an excellent diversion!
What do you mean, this thing? Fulman asked.
This thing! This thing!
Redentum said, nearly unable to hold back his mirth.
This maneuver that looks like a retreat, but with that racket!
It's called fleeing in terror, Fulman said. This world's inhabitants are prone to such behavior.
Redentum paused.
You mean they're afraid of us?
He asked. Before Fulman could reply, he laughed again and crushed another group of changelings. He spotted a large group of changelings trying to escape, but appeared to be hampered by something.
Over there,
he said.
That one looks just a bit more organized.
Fulman didn't reply, but he followed his partner. As they approached, half the group formed a defensive barrier, while the other half continued to fly away with their burden.
Now here's something more familiar,
Redentum said.
A bit of organized resistance for once. What's that thing they're trying to escape with? It looks like one of them, only bigger.
I recognize this one, Fulman said. It's their queen, the one the general tried to talk to.
Should we finish the task?
Redentum asked. He advanced even more. The changelings rushed him, but their teeth and hooves merely bounced off his barding. The changeling leader began to stir. She opened her eyes weakly and tried to rise without help. The other changelings gathered around her in support.
Let's try to talk to it, Fulman said. As I recall, it can actually communicate.
Better speak slowly,
Redentum suggested. He didn't bring down his hammer, but he swatted a few changelings away with a foreleg. They crashed to the ground and did not rise again. "Do you understand me?" Fulman asked.
"I understand perfectly, monster," the changeling queen spat. "Celestia talks so innocently about just passing through, and then she sends you to destroy us all."
"We are not affiliated with the Secondborn," Fulman said. "We are letting you go. Come back with reinforcements or flee to a faraway land. It doesn't matter."
"Regroup and get your allies," Redentum said. "Please, make it more amusing when you return."
"We will get our revenge one day."
The changeling queen glared at them, then flew towards Canterlot.
"We don't really need that many escorts for her, do we?"
Redentum asked. Without waiting for a reply, he brought down his hammer on some of the changelings lagging behind. Fulman shook his head and turned away. There was no crash or splatter, however. Redentum's attack had collided with a great chunk of stone before the hammer's head could even travel past his horn.
"The changelings deserve some punishment,"
Semponi said. Prince Tirado landed in front of them.
"I even suggested to Celestia that they be wiped out, but seeing it done like this, well, that makes me see her point a bit more clearly."
Fulman placed his right hoof against the left part of his breastplate, then dipped his head, the normal greeting that soldiers of the Eternal Herd made for royalty.
"Highness," he said. "The general was hoping that you would be the one to come and negotiate."
"Good,"
Tirado said.
"We start off positive. Take me to General Gravitas."
They flew along the shores of Skymere Lake, past hundreds of the dead changelings scattered across the ground like flies. Most were barely discernible pools of mashed gore and bones. They landed at the northernmost point of the lake, in front of a large tent. Tirado didn't waste any time in stepping forward. He had flown from Canterlot at night, but it was morning when he arrived in Skymere Lake.
"Gravitas,"
he called out.
"We need to talk."
The tent flap lifted, and Gravitas stepped out. General Gravitas was taller than Tirado by a few inches, and just as muscular. His barding was polished to a silvery sheen and intricately engraved. It covered him from head to hooves in gleaming, overlapping plates. Underneath the armor, he had a coat of a very light gray, almost white. His mane was a dark blue mist that seeped through the openings of his crinery, and he looked at the world through a disapproving set of ice-blue eyes.
"Yes, we do,"
he said in a rich baritone voice.
"It is good that it was you who came, Highness. It is good that it was you who came, Highness. I have had quite enough of dealing with your sister."
"Is that the only reason?" Tirado asked.
"You are the most likely to understand,"
Gravitas added.
"We're soldiers of the Herd, you and I. We both understand the necessary steps that your sisters are often so quick to condemn and overlook."
"And what is this that I am most likely to understand?" Tirado asked.
"That these mortals must be destroyed for their own good,"
Gravitas replied.
"The Council sent me here to secure the foul weapon, restore Celestia's power, and ensure Equestria is not under the influence of Oceanus. These half-hearted measures will spell the end of the Herd if we do not do something."
"I think you've overestimated my open-mindedness."
"Hear me out,"
Gravitas said.
"This matter stretches back even before Lexarius volunteered to come to this world."
He lifted the flap to his tent.
"Come in, and we will talk."
Despite the centuries, Tirado recognized the two soldiers. Redentum Malioris was as tall as Tirado, but with twice the girth. He looked fat, but he moved around earlier with plenty of agility. He had no mane, and his coat was the color of aged cream. The hammer slung across his back, and the way the burnished metal plates of his barding curved outward added more to his sheer presence. Fulman was nearly Luna's size, but he carried himself as if he was as big as his partner. His mane was a wild, bright red blaze that sprouted from his closed chamberon's top like a second tail. His golden barding covered his rust-red coat, and he had a long spear slung across his back.
"The two of you haven't changed,"
Tirado said. I wish I could say the same of you, Highness, Fulman replied. Tirado followed Gravitas into the tent. There were times that he felt as Fulman did.